We're carrying on our series looking at intimacy with God, our identity in Christ, and our call to love and impact the world with the kingdom of God. And I'm continuing on the section on intimacy with God and how intimacy with God, Holy Spirit, the presence of God, leads to an impact into the world. And that intimacy with God is the priority for the believer. Someone asked Jesus, "What's the work that you've asked us to do?" And Jesus replied, "This is the work I've asked you to do, is to rest and believe in the one the Father has sent." So intimacy is the most important thing we can give our lives to. That everything in our lives was designed to flow out of a center of intimacy with God. That there is no greater privilege for any human being on planet Earth than to host God himself. So what it is to be a believer is to be somebody who hosts God. That God's heart has always been to dwell with you and me. Has always been the fundamental heart of God. That the Trinity is itself a community of love. The Father loving the Son. The Son loving the Father. The Holy Spirit loving the Father and the Son. They love one another. God is relational. And so right at the beginning in the book of Genesis, God walked with men and women. Right at the beginning, he walked with them. He hung out in the garden with Adam and Eve and walked with them in the cool of the day. They encountered and enjoyed the presence of God. And even though we know in Genesis 3 that they rebelled and sin came in, God was still after walking with people. He was still after relationship with men and women. That Moses encountered God on the mountain. And it says that God spoke to Moses as a person speaks to a friend. We see God encountering the people in the tabernacle. We see David's tent being a place where men and women encountered God. We see Solomon's temple as being a physical place where the glory of God rested. And we ultimately see God with us, Emmanuel, in Jesus coming, the incarnate God-man coming. And then Jesus, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, God in us, not just God with us. Amen. It's always been about relationship with God. Do you know, now you have a better deal than Adam and Eve had in the garden. The Garden of Eden was called delight. That's what the Garden of Eden meant. Eden means delight. And we have a far better relationship with God than even Adam and Eve experienced with walking with God in the garden. Why? Because if you're a believer this morning, you are a dwelling place for God. We have become his dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Amazing how these are made, like John 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16 is amazing. 3:16 verses. Don't you realize that all of you together,
wow,
amen,
are the temple of God?
Hallelujah.
And that the Spirit of God lives in you.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Who we are. There's a individual reality of that, that you know God personally and individually, but there's something corporate. Don't you know that together?
Yes.
You are a dwelling place, yes, for God himself.
Yes.
Ephesians 2:22, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
Or I like the way the Message put it,
amen,
we have become God's address.
Amen.
You know, people are looking and saying, where's God in the world? Well, you know, you could say, actually, he's here inside of me. And he's inside the bride of Christ and the believers.
Yes.
God dwells in us. We can get so familiar with this invitation of intimacy that we lose the awe and wonder of the reality of God's Spirit dwelling in us. That God has made his home in our heart. God has made you, he's made me into his house. Heaven has made a home in us now. I struggle with the phrase that sometimes people use when telling people about Jesus, when they say, "Where will you go if you die?" I struggle with that because it sounds quite threatening. You know, if you died today, where would you go? I mean, I understand the sentiment that the idea is, do you know you're going to go to heaven? But is heaven's come down now? Have you got heaven in your heart? Not just when you die, you go into heaven. Do you know that you can have God in you now, that heaven can be making its home in your life? It's not just a faith that when we die we know where we're going. It's a reality that where we're going has come now, and that where we're going is a continuation of what we get to experience now. That the moment you become a Christian, you become a believer, and you follow Jesus, heaven has come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. Heaven has made a home in us now. That means the connection is constant. The connection is constant. That means that when you become a believer and you're born again of the Spirit, you live in a reality that the connection to God is constant. You become a habitation of God. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit lives in you, a habitation, not a visitational thing. God, we experience him in corporate moments of worship, and we might become more aware of the one who is already here. We become more aware of the presence, and maybe we become aware in our experience, in our emotions, in our feelings of God actually being in us. And it can happen in corporate times of worship. But it wasn't in that moment God suddenly turned up and visited you. He was already there. You in that moment, me in that moment, became aware of the one who was already there living in us. So heaven has made its home, its habitation, not visitation. There's a guy I was hearing some quotes from. He made some statements about the Holy Spirit about 400 years ago. And he said, "The Holy Spirit is filling the halls." Just imagine your life is a mansion and many rooms. He's saying the Holy Spirit is filling the halls and the rooms with himself. Already we feel some of the warmth of the Father's fireplace. Just imagine heaven is this amazing mansion. God's there and there's an amazing party and there's joy and there's life and there's liberty and peace. He says, we can already feel some of the warmth of the Father's fireplace and hear some of the music and the dancing down the halls.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
And smell some of the food from the table. I love the fact that God's into feasts and laying a feast before us in that place. We can smell some of the food. Because the very spirit of that home is here. Here, inside of you, inside of us. So God is in us.
Amen.
So one of the implications of God has come and made his home in us is to host God really, really well. So to live from intimacy is first a recognition that we are his household, and then in recognition that he is in us and with us is to host him really well. And that means God is not just for Sunday. He's not an experience. We say, I'm going to church to worship God and encounter God, then I live my life unaware of him, is actually to host him very well, all of life in every detail. Create a culture, a way of seeing the world that's natural,
yes,
where you say everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. There's no sacred things and there's no secular things. It's all spiritual. And I engage with him whatever I am doing.
Amen.
I'm aware and live my life with Holy Spirit. Like that magnificent book from the same 17th century, Brother Lawrence, hosting the presence of God. People would come to watch this monk wash up because he washed up so spiritually engaging with God. He was a sign and a wonder as he did the dishes because he lived and acted and worked aware of the one who was always with him. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to, in our awareness, our consciousness, our life of thinking, we need to make room for his presence by being open to the one who was always with us, creating space, whatever we're doing, so that there's interaction with God all week. Or as Paul says, pray continuously without ceasing. I wonder if praying continuously without ceasing is an issue of awareness of the one who inhabits us. That we create space, that we're aware of him. To use the language again of that writer from the 17th century, open every door.
Amen.
And room to him. Hang out with him. Get to know him. Love him. Don't think you can do anything without him. Is every door of your heart open to him? Or do you have some rooms where you say, no, Holy Spirit, you don't go here. This is my stuff. It can be good stuff that you value more than God. It could be sinful stuff that you say, I've got this secret place where I don't want God to come and be in. This guy is saying, no, open every door. Open every room. Hang out with him. Get to know him. Love him. Don't think you can do anything without him. Jesus lived his whole life aware of the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 5:10, a woman touched his garment and he said he noticed that power had gone out from him because he lived consciously aware of God with him.
Amen.
Every moment of every day.
Amen.
And that woman was healed from an issue of blood just,
yes,
by reaching out and touching.
Yes.
And Jesus said, who touched me?
Amen.
And Jesus, the disciples said, everybody's touching you, Jesus. We're in a crowd of people bumping into you. And he said, no, someone drew power from me. And she said, and she was healed. His life had impact, miraculous healing, just by someone touching him. Peter's shadow healed. Why? Because he's living in a place of intimate communion with God. Hosting Holy Spirit is not about some abstract set of laws and rules. It's about good hospitality.
Amen.
If you have a friend that you love and they come round for dinner and you ignore them, and you act like they're not there, and you just do all the chores, and you're not aware of the person, that's not good hospitality. If you just lived your life with somebody, but you're never aware of them, never interacted with them, never spoke to them, never communed with them, never engaged and shared with them, That's just bad manners.
Amen.
And honestly, we're like that with God.
Yeah.
We box him in. We call it a quiet time. Well, a quiet time, as Bill Johnson said, is the icing on the cake. It's a life of communion with God, a life of interaction. It's good hospitality. Jesus said that. He said, I came in here, and this woman has not stopped kissing the oil, and you didn't even wash my feet or the dust of the day. It's good hospitality. You're with me. Not just you're with me when I remember to come every now and then to a church meeting. You're with me all the time.
Amen.
See, it's really important, this good hospitality, because Jesus said actually it's possible to drown out the voice of God through just a life of utter distraction. Mark 4:19, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so that no fruit is produced. A distracted life, an overly busy life, not embracing limitations and the limitations of being human and embracing the strengths of your life too. Taking on too many things.
Amen.
So that the voice of God and the hosting of God gets drowned out.
Mm.
Just stopping and being still. Love this quote. Even after miserable moments, we mustn't wait to entertain Holy Spirit again. Or worst, work our way back to welcome him again. That's legalism.
Yeah.
If you think after a miserable moments that you have to serve some kind of penance of time or activity, that's unbiblical, that's legalism, that's not hosting God well.
Amen.
We mustn't wait to welcome him again. No, we must welcome him right now.
Hallelujah.
Right here.
Hallelujah.
Right now, by agreeing with grace.
Amen.
It was all grace. Jesus died for us while we were yet still sinners. Walking with Holy Spirit, this can't be about mental assent or just intellectually believing something is true. So you could agree with me and say, I agree with you that God is with me always. I agree with you, I'm his temple. I agree with you, he's in me and with me wherever I go. But that might just be intellectual agreement. Truth is always an invitation to an experience of the reality that truth is pointing to. God is in you, God is in me. God is in us and with us. So the promise should actually make us super hungry to experience what the promise is pointing to. We can sing a song, I love your presence, I'm aware of your presence. That truth can make us hungry. Hungry, I want to be aware of your presence. I want to be turning aside to be with you. Turning aside when I'm at the bus stop. Turning aside to pause when I'm in the supermarket. Turn aside to say, love you, Holy Spirit, when I'm washing the dishes.
Amen.
Turning aside when you're cleaning. Turning aside when you're on the way to work. Turning aside when you go into the office building. Turning aside when you get on the train. Love you, Holy Spirit. You're with me today. What kind of adventures have we got today? What do you want to say today? What's on your heart, Holy Spirit, today? Turning aside to him, Holy Spirit, make this Bible come alive to me so that I experience it in a deep and wonderful way. I heard this quote yesterday. Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch woman who was arrested and taken into a concentration camp with her and her sister during the Second World War. It was her birthday. Would have been her birthday on Friday, and it was also the day that she died. She died at 91 years old. And I love this. So she's in a concentration camp. They're under the fear and the threat of death. Their room is just full of fleas. And there's a little huddle of believers in a corner. And somebody somehow smuggled a Bible in. a tattered Bible. And she says, like waifs, I guess waifs sort of thin, emaciated, clustered around a blazing fire. We gathered around that Bible, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the word of God. I would look about us as Betsy, that's her sister, read, watching the light leap from her face. Betsy read, more than conquerors. It was not a wish. It was a fact.
Amen.
We knew it.
Amen.
We experienced it.
Amen.
Minute by minute.
Amen.
Poor, hated, hungry. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be. We are.
Amen.
Say, dear friends, is that your experience? That's a work of God. That's a work of intimacy where he takes eternal truth and he makes it vibrant and alive and transformatory. So you experience it regardless of circumstances, regardless of situation. I'm more than a conqueror. And you could take a multitude of many truths, a peace that transcends all understanding. Do not be anxious about anything.
Amen.
But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving,
Hallelujah.
Present your requests to God, and the peace, tranquility, calm, serenity of God, God himself, the Prince of Peace, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, it's not
Amen.
Enough to quote it and know it. It's got to become an experience of it so that you dare to use the language incarnate it. God in the flesh, Jesus in the flesh. He's God, he's man, and he embodied the very things he said. So imagine you embody shalom and peace and wholeness. People are going to start listening. Impact, because it's not just you have a good word, you have a life with life in it.
Amen.
And you say, I can break up a bit of that life, I can break up a bit of that life, I can give a bit away because I know where to get it because of the Holy Spirit in me. And this presence, let's be reminded, is the very person of God himself.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always.
Amen.
John 14:26, Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. That's God. That's Jesus with you always. That's the Spirit of Christ with you always. And let's land here. Fruit and impact flows and grows in his presence. That a life of intimacy with God, where we truly prize and value the presence of God, is not a selfish life.
No.
It will be a life of kingdom fruitfulness that will touch the world around us. Mm. Fruitfulness flows from intimacy.
Mm.
John 5:15, if a man remains in me, intimacy, and I remain in him, intimacy, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, intimacy, you can do nothing. So there's so many things we can't control in the world. But we can decide to be those who abide and walk and remain.
Amen.
We can decide to do that. We can decide to create a space of intimacy.
Amen.
And that the Father will fill that space with kingdom fruit. Let me read you a quote from a quote that changed my life. I read it, 2007. It still moves me and it still really impacts me. John Wimber, who is known for his healing ministry around the world. We think that the key to maturity and power is to be good. We then focus on our behavior, But our behaviour never meets the high standards of Christ's righteousness. I did this for years, focusing on my behaviour. I was in constant turmoil because my behaviour was never good enough, rarely meeting God's or my own standards of righteousness. I first believed in Christ because I was not good. Yet after becoming a Christian, I struggled in my own strength with not being good enough. So I was always under conviction, always struggling with guilt. Then one day, 22 years ago, I fell to my knees and I asked God to help me. I sensed him respond, "Since you can do nothing without me, how much help do you want?" Then he said, "The issue is not about being good, it is about being God's. Just come to me and I'll provide goodness for you." I did not fully understand his words. What did he mean, "I'll provide goodness for you"? I was confused. So for the next 5 years, I tried to be good in my own strength. I soon became more and more despondent. Finally, I began to ask God about what I had sensed he told me earlier concerning his goodness. He explained that he had good works prepared for me, but they were his works, and I could not do them for him. He told me that I needed to begin to listen to his voice rather than to distill the Christian life to a set of rules and principles. I began to listen more during my times of prayer and Bible study, and more consciously talked with him throughout the normal activities of the day. Then something interesting began to happen. He put new desires and attitudes in me. His spirit began to strengthen me to do righteous acts I had previously no desire for. I began to sense his voice more often throughout the day, and good works were multiplied in my life. Today, I no longer try to be good. Instead, I am only concerned with doing God's bidding, and what he commands, I do.
Amen.
Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know intimate experience. That's what that word know, nosos. Amen. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not just we have this intellectualizing
yes.
of truths.
Amen.
But Paul is saying, I want to know, I want to experience Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to experience Christ and know the power of his resurrection. A life of delighting in his presence leads to overflow. Ephesians 5:18, be filled. In the Greek, that's the present tense, it's the continual
Amen.
Tense. Be filled,
Amen.
Continually sensing God, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, Amen. Being continually filled every day, everywhere you go, everything you're doing, and being filled. Let me use this illustration to finish from Pete Carter. Say this little cap is you, it's me, and it's us too as a corporate body of people. It's probably going to splash everywhere, it should do. This is our little life, and maybe it's our little church. And this bottle is the infinite resources of heaven where there's no end. And as we get filled, continual present tense, our lives begin to leak and drip and go all over the place.
Amen.
Suddenly, effortlessly, we're flowing and bringing love to people, grace to people, forgiveness to people. As we're being filled time and time again throughout the day, not waiting for special times and special seasons, just being aware of God. And so the issue then becomes not really the size of the container at all. The issue isn't really about the size of the church or the size of your life or how big you think you are. It's how big God is. And this immeasurable supply of the Spirit begins to leak out on all sides. Connie Tanboom tells a story of when, 8 years after leaving the concentration camp, she was giving a talk. And in the auditorium was one of the prison guards from the prison camp. And he came up to her and thanked her for the talk. And he wanted to shake her hand. And her hand was by her side. And she said to God, I can't shake his hand. I can't forgive him. And God said, it's not your forgiveness. It's my forgiveness. And she reached out her hand and shook. And electricity, like electricity, passed down her body through her hand as she shook this God's hand. Because it was God's forgiveness and God's goodness coming through. See, in the end, it's not about you and me. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He is passionate for this world. But what he needs is just men and women who will say, I'm going to live from a place of utter dependence upon God and upon the Holy Spirit, that he can then be like electricity that reaches out to men and women with healing, reaches out to men and women with expressions of goodness, reaches out to men and women with healing, because he is the healer, reaches out to bring hope to hopeless situations and breakthrough to things that won't move. Not because we're brilliant, but because we're this small cap that's being filled again and again and again by God.